Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, hello. I've just walked through the door. Welcome to the Newtown Theatre. Please welcome a man who's been up since 4 a.m. tidying his house as well. It's been a nightmare. It's Richard Herring. Yo! This day is so long. Can't believe how long this day is. Welcome, my fan friends. Welcome. Welcome to the final show. The Edinburgh Fringe of Rich Herring's Leaving Sayonara Tatar podcast. I really am leaving. I'm getting in a cab to go back to my house to put in the final things, and then I'm driving to the Lake District tonight, and then probably getting up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning and doing the rest of the journey home. So I'm not pleased to be going. So much as delighted. It's good. This could be the last time I'm ever at the Edinburgh Fringe. You never know, Liam. I was talking to you, Liam, the other day. Liam's been to 20 of the 21 Edinburgh Fringe. What do you call this podcast, Liam?
Liam's super thankful.
Oh, he calls it Rahalastapa. So it's can't even get his cue right. That's it. Has anyone been to more than 20 of these? Because I'm going to give Liam this book at the end, unless anyone can beat. I don't think anyone else is that. You're not mad, Liam. Don't worry. You're not insane. That's a normal thing to do. What you've done is normal. If only 400 people had done that every day, I'd have had a much nicer fringe. And we actually did. It was touch and go, but we just got the numbers we needed to average 200 people per show today. So well done, everyone. Thank you very much. Which is what I was aiming for. I didn't think I'd get there. It's what I was aiming for. So thank you for that. I have been tidying my house all day. Because I don't want to give my landlord any more money. I know I haven't tidied it well enough. He'll be taking some of my deposit away. I've worked out that my landlord gets £1.66 of every ticket I've sold. That is not on, is it? It's pretty close to what I'm going to get. Because it's of my part as well. It gets divided up, and then I pay all the expenses out of my part, and then I get what's left. I am going to get some money, though. It's all right. It's not going to pay for 2014, as I'd hoped, though. The moustache has gone as well. If you were here yesterday, you know, were listening yesterday, I had a comedy moustache just because I didn't want to show it. I trimmed it with some scissors and got it off. Although I was tempted to just go down the Hitler moustache one last time. I just thought, I can't. It's a good job I didn't, because I came down in a cab. I brought some booze for the guys in the theatre, who the crew at the Newtown Theatre, I have to say, have been absolutely fantastic. I think the best crew I've ever worked with. So give them a massive round of applause. I'm very happy to. I'm not sure my taxi driver would have appreciated the Hitler moustache. I'm not sure. You never know. Yesterday, my computer broke. So it's been a fantastic. I can't charge my computer. The thing doesn't fit in. I don't know what's happened. It's terrible. So what a fringe it has been. What an amazing fringe it's been. And if you are up in Scotland, if you live up here, I will be in Glasgow in November doing a Rahulastapa. And one of my guests will be Limmy, so it's selling pretty well. So and he's not performing, he's not doing any live stuff anymore. He does his Twitch stuff, or whatever it is now, whatever it is.
He's on the telly.
So, but that's not it's not the same as live, is it? It's not the. All right, mate. Fuck, back on, back down. Back down. I knew he said fuck off, but I said back down. So, thank you very much for my guest for coming along to this dead rubber of a gig. That isn't much use for publicity, especially as one of them has finished his show. But we'll get on to that. My first guests today are possibly best. It's hard to find them on A, they work under a pseudonym, and B, they have a quite common name. So we're going to find out if I pick the right ones off IMDb. One of them is best known as the composer on Christine and Christine. Seems unlikely. And the other is best known for playing Rosie in Got Your Nose. I reckon that's more likely, but I'm still not sure. Will you please welcome Flo and Joan, ladies and gentlemen? Flo and Joan, if that is their real name. If that is, those are their real names. Welcome, come in, sit down, there's mics, there's water. Oh, it's the last show, so you are allowed to bring in games, and we can just play games if you like. We don't have to take it too seriously, is what I'm saying. So did I? We can just mess around for 20 minutes. That's what I plan to do. So I've been tidying the house. I haven't done any research. I've no idea who you are.
Absolutely.
I have. I've gigged with you, and I don't think it's fair because you both have a lot of talent, and I do not think that's fair in comedy.
We were saying our first ever gig in the UK, I think it was in Tring.
Yes.
And you were on second and we were on first.
Yes.
And it was absolutely a Richard Herring audience, and they hated us.
They loved you.
It was our first ever gig in the UK, and it was brutal.
Yeah, you were our first.
Was it?
Our first gig ever.
Yeah.
They hated
and it was
me
bad.
As well, that's weird. So I thought they were your audience. I thought you did very well. I can't remember you going down the storm. So were you, Nicola, the composer on Christine and Christine? It might be Christine.
Oh, my God. I was like, oh, that's really funny. I actually think I was.
What is it?
It was that that video, the Tara's song thing. That narrows it down to nothing. But, I think I was.
She's working on her own. She wasn't working with you. Yeah. She did some composing on her own.
That's
I guess
good.
It might
only
be because of the music.
Stuff.
You know, I just thought, there's a possibility you could have composed.
I don't think I have an IMDb, so this is very illuminating for me.
Maybe you do. Maybe go and have a check and put some other stuff in there.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing at the moment.
Yeah.
You must have done some other stuff. And were you Rosie and Rosie and Got Your Nose?
I was. I didn't know what you were talking about when you said it, but I was Rosie and Rosie and Got Your Nose, whatever that
what was.
It was a really good. It's my friends, the Trophy Husbands, and they do sketches, and they did this amazing sketch where someone just, you know, they got your nose when someone tricks you, but they like blow it up, and it becomes this big operation that someone's actually stolen someone's nose. It's very funny.
Okay, good. We'll look out for it.
Yeah,
we'll
they do silly stuff.
I mean,
stuff
we
like
all
that.
Know you from that, so that is why.
It was my breakout year.
I mean, you'll get this all the time, but let's get this out the way. Why have you gone for Flo and Joan rather than Nicola and Rosie Dempsey?
It was the name of our nan and her sister.
That is not an answer.
No?
No, well, I didn't call myself Doris and Babs. Right, so, though maybe I should have done.
We might have had a better gig in Tring if you...
Yeah. Why did you want to be named after your gran and her sister?
We just thought, like, Nicola and Rosie is just a bit shit. Like, it's just boring. Yeah. And if we went on, like, the Dempsey sisters, then we sound like some weirdos from, like, the 20s who are going to do loads of cartwheels and, like, spin plates on their heads. And we haven't tried that yet, but so far that's not part of our gig. Okay. So Flo and Joan just seemed like
it was a panic thing. We did when we did our first gig. We didn't know what to be introduced on stage as, so we just went Flo and Joan. Our mum would always say Flo and Joan are coming to stay, or we're going out to see Flo and Joan. So when we were younger, we just heard the names Flo and Joan all the time.
Yeah.
We just stole it. It worked for the first show, and then it just stuck.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It's allowed.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to change your names. That's show business, right?
It is.
I think Rosie and Nicola and Rosie. It
does sound a bit young, I think. It sounds like kids' TV presenters. I think Rosie and Jim, now that you'd hear the name Rosie and think, oh, I assume they're puppets.
Yeah.
You'd assume Rosie has gone solo from Jim and gone, become a lesbian. I think they were brother and sister, weren't they? Were Rosie and Jim brother and sister? I mean, they were puppets. I should be more interested. But they were child puppets, and I'm not a pervert. That's the thing. I only like adult puppets. That is now on record. very good. And you start. Did it start as a YouTube thing? Was that how you sort of filmed some stuff? Were you working? Tell me how you began your careers. That's the easiest way to get around my trying to remember how you started.
We started doing live. We just did loads of gigs. We started in Toronto and just did we did that the first gig, and then someone asked us to do another gig, and then it just trickled from there.
Yeah.
And then we just put one video online, mm-hmm. the 2016 song, I think, that one.
Yeah.
And that one just sort of blew up a bit. And then I think people thought we were YouTube kids.
Yeah.
And I actually don't like YouTube that much.
No,
I love watching it, but I don't like being a part of it.
Right.
I think it's fucking crazy and it's ruining everything, but also really helping our careers. So here we are.
Yeah.
And it just went. We've put a couple things on, but I think you've got to keep an arm's length with social media.
Yeah.
And putting yourself online.
But they've had that. Well, the 2016 song had millions of hits.
Mm.
There was one that was quite local. There was one about just areas around Toronto, wasn't there? There was the
why. You know more than us than you're letting on.
Yeah. I don't know. I pretend I don't research, but I've been up.
You've been watching.
I've been
us
ignoring
in
the kids, and my wife's been cleaning the house, and I've been watching. Actually, I did find this quote by Steve Bennett from Chortle, who's a massive respected amongst comedians. And you'll see why when you see this quote. If Flanders and Swan and Flight of the Conchords and Garfunkel and Oates had a six-way time travel gangbang that somehow mixed all their DNA, the offspring might end up sounding something like Flo and Joan.
You're welcome.
What a pathetic quote. How would that happen? And also, at least it does. At least if you're going to go that far, it would be exactly Flo and Joan.
Yeah,
don't make up this time travel gangbang fantasy.
We're just the response. We're the outcome of some horny musical comedians who just fucked in a time capsule and made us people.
Yeah. Why does he... He wants to see... it's mainly Flanders and Swan and Flight of the Conchords. I mean, Garfunkel and Oates I'd like to see in a gangbang, but the other four...
Maybe.
Flanders and Swan, you know? They were old-timey, they'd be gentlemen.
I feel like they'd do some weird... They'd pull out some weird, like, old people tricks.
Yeah.
Like, is it not old people, but, like, old-timey tricks?
Like what?
I don't know, they'd wear, like an army helmet or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people in the 40s did, right?
That just wore charming war stuff.
Do you think in that scenario, Flanders and Swan... I know this isn't your quote. I know you didn't make it up. Do you think Flanders and Swan have come forward in time to meet the others, or didn't the others have gone backwards in time to their time? Or have they all converged? I guess they would have had 70s. To go to the... Yeah, when you were born. You know, it was 9 months before you were born.
Yeah.
And but they would also need the technology to mix four amount of semen and two eggs.
Yeah. They'd have to take more eggs from Garfunkel and Oates than they would semen from anyone else.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like Garfunkel and Oates and Flight of the Conchords would have to go back in time.
Yeah.
So that they might meet at the same kind of age.
Yeah.
Because I think old Flanders and Swan and young everyone else, they might be a bit like, I don't know if I want Flanders and Swan here.
Yeah.
Like Garfunkel and Oates and Flight of the Conchords. Yeah.
Maybe Flanders and Swan just have the technology to create babies from make a mixture of gametes. Maybe that's their role in it. And they just watch from a cupboard and wank.
That's true, yeah.
Flanders and Swan are cupboard watchers, for sure.
Absolutely.
They
I mean, it's on your publicity, though, this quote, so, you know, I feel I should mainly talk about this for the rest of the podcast.
I'm really glad that people come to see us expecting just, like, a big fat gangbang of, like, sex and jizz and stuff.
Well, I just don't think, you know, I would be disappointed because I've got a very clear image of what the offspring of such an awful thing would be, and it is nothing like you two.
That's good. That's
and there's no guarantee that because those people had sex with each other, they would create people who are capable of singing amusing songs.
If anything, I would be really happy if they had absolutely useless children that had no discernible talent in any field whatsoever.
That would be an act. And then if that was the quote and people came along and said, well, they're not singers. Well, they don't. That's not how genetics works.
Yeah. Mm. You've assumed that.
Certainly in this time travel scenario. Okay, that's just wanted to get off my chest.
I'm glad. Feels good, huh?
So, I've been in a double act, and it's quite tough, right, to be with anyone. But if you're, like, related to the person that you're... I mean, because, like, sisters, that's quite a difficult relationship anyway without working together. But then you're really stuck with... If you fall out and find out the other one's a dick... You're stuck with each other. At least I could get away.
This has been a very illuminating Edinburgh, I will say that.
Our show this year touches upon that. The feel we watched this Bross documentary. You've seen the Bross documentary. Mm. We watched that and then we were like, this could be our future. Like, this is... They put on a plate what it looks like when siblings have a career and then fall out.
Yeah.
It was delivered to us in a lovely parcel and we watched it and I genuinely felt sick by the end.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Very good documentary. They're very good. We were saying last night, we think since the beginning, since we did Melbourne in March, Comedy Festival, and we think we might have had only 2 days apart from each other since March
until
now.
We're going to kill each other.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Come on.
No.
Are you sharing accommodation in Edinburgh?
We're sharing a bed.
What? No way.
Because it's fucking expensive.
It is, but...
We split our fee as well, right? So we're already making half the amount of money, so why would we both spend a grand on a room?
Yeah.
Neither of us in a relationship.
No.
Well, and we do love a nighttime if you carry on like this, are you?
Don't.
Or it's going to be a very specific kind of relationship.
Yeah, Flanders and Swan back in.
Spice up some wardrobe old men.
Yeah.
it's been a long fringe.
Yeah.
So you've been working together. How long have you actually been? How long has this been going? So obviously 2016 at least, but maybe a little bit up before that.
Pretty much, we did our first Fringe in 2016.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe 2015 we started to get the cogs going, but yeah.
So 4 years, just over 4 years.
Yeah.
How long were you double acting for?
I was in double act for like it's 10 years, but then you're sort of stuck in it afterwards as well. You can't ever escape it, as Bross. Find out. I mean, so the Bross documentary I thought was incredible.
It is incredible.
But I think because it had that additional sibling element to it.
I think they can't escape it either because they look the same. So at some point, you're always going to be like, aren't you that guy from Bross?
Well, they don't look the same, though, do they? That's the thing. One of them looks a lot younger and hairy than the other. Even though they're twins, it's weird. Isn't it? So, one of them looks like a skeleton.
I think
he looks like just before you're about to die. Yeah. He looks like that.
I think they both look like sexy Voldemorts. Like, that's their vibe. They look like they're going to come at you from a grave and shout Wingardium Leviosa.
They were, Bross were in the year below me at school in Fairlands Middle School in Cheddar for 1 year.
They?
Shut up.
They both
beat up my mate Chris Gard and they both got off with Bridget Seeley, who I met quite recently again and didn't recognise immediately, but then did recognise.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Let's make this podcast about that.
I feel like Bridget Seeley must have a resurgence since the Bross documentary as well.
Yeah.
She can crack out that anecdote.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she likes me telling that story. I used to do it on the telly because I was just talking about being at school with Bross and like some, I think Deadpan magazine or something tracked her down and rang her up and asked her about it. So she probably hates me. She was very civil to me when I met her.
That's nice.
She's a beautiful young woman, but she was a beautiful 10-year-old when I met her. But I was also 10, so it was, she was in our year. That's not on, is it? These two twins turn up from London for a year. They're 1 year younger than us and start getting off with our girls from our year that I can't get off with because I'd not have sex for another 15 years. It's all right to fancy a 10-year-old if you're 10. That's okay.
Yeah.
And not if you're 9. That is my message to Bross. Is it difficult? Are you arguing a lot and fighting? I mean, if you're sharing a bed, you're not. You must be getting on okay.
It comes in waves, I think.
Yeah.
I think the good thing is you can... I mean, I think it's a good thing. You might be, like, emotionally scarred by it, but you can tell each other to really aggressively fuck off.
Yeah.
And there's not... I don't think who knows, there's not too much love lost in a way that we wouldn't talk to our friends the way we talk to each other.
No.
But we're getting it done. We're figuring it out, aren't we?
Also, there is an ease of doing it, being sisters as well, yeah. Because we're sharing the same genes. Our brains work in a very similar way. We're very different people, but we can like predict each other's brain tracks.
Yeah.
In a very creepy way.
Yes.
So that makes it easy. And like most decisions, we have the same, mostly the same instincts and yeah. stuff. And we've got the same points of reference. We grew up together. We watched the same TV, mm-hmm. saw the same shit, mm-hmm. got the same mum, same
yeah.
dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it easy. You but can, yeah. yeah, you're on the same page most of the time.
And which one of you is the older sister?
Me.
Yeah.
So did you think that was the case?
I did. That would have been my guess. But, you know, you both look incredibly young and could be twins.
I'm 10.
Shut
yeah.
up.
And so let's. You did these nationwide ads that proved a little bit controversial on social media, which may be why you don't like social media so much.
Maybe.
I mean, a lot of people like them. A lot of people like them. They were great. I mean, it's what you do, isn't it? You were doing yeah. what you do as an ad.
Well, it was family friendly.
Yeah.
There's not, you can't really do too much. Our shows are a lot more.
For adults.
More exciting, if I could say.
It was our first ever job. Like, we'd literally moved back to the UK. I think we'd been there for like 3 months, and then someone was like, do you want to do these things? They're not going to edit what you say. You just write them a bunch of songs.
Yeah.
It was literally our first job. I was working at the Churchill War Rooms. Rosie was working in like a tea shop. And I think I was there for 6 weeks, and then we got the job, and I was like, bye, motherfuckers. I'm out of this fucking bunker. So like, you're going to take jobs like that, I think.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a challenge to write family stuff as well.
It's fucking hard.
We did some stuff for Horrible Histories, and you find out that there's lots of things you just can't say.
We couldn't say the word prostate. They wouldn't let us say the word prostate in a Horrible History song.
That is not on. There's nothing wrong with the prostate.
No, it's a very useful organ.
Yeah. Yeah.
But young men should be aware of them.
Exactly.
From they a very should. Early age.
That was literally our argument. It yeah. should be yeah. a word that kids should know, and they should be able to ask their parents, what is a prostate?
Yeah.
It's a science word.
Which is how science
was it anything to do with the historical subject you were talking about, though?
No, it wasn't. We tried to get in the... Haters gonna hate, Protestants gonna prostate.
Okay.
It was about Queen Elizabeth and Mary, Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we had to say prostrate. Well, Protestants gonna prostrate, which makes no sense. But prostate definitely made sense.
That made sense. So how did you? I mean, the reaction. Was it as that bad? There was a lot of sort of social media. It started quite gently and then became more aggressive. As any woman on social media finds, is that the...
This is it. I think, like, what we didn't see most of it, because we weren't, like, hosting the video, so you don't see it unless someone tags you in it. But, like, what we were presumably getting is, like, nothing in compared to, like, what most people get.
Yeah. Mm.
I think, if anything, we got off lightly. Challenge. That's challenging everyone out. Challenge the listeners. But, like, it wasn't, like... I think it was just a storm in a teacup kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
it was really definitely a storm in a teacup.
We weren't bothered by it.
Do you think the nationwide kind of try and fan the flames to get more publicity for the...
No, they were very... They're very good at the... Didn't they brought out some advertising time and like prime time on Channel 4 to like raise, I don't know if anyone saw it, but to raise awareness of how, because they had so many adverts out and they had people of colour, people of different sexualities talking about their experiences in these adverts, and they were getting way worse than we were getting.
Ours were just like, shut the fuck up, and you're like, that seems fair. I agree. These songs are really annoying.
I think it just happened at the time that our adverts were playing, so it just sort of shot up at that. But people get it far worse.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where the internet's a good thing, because if you put something out, then people will discover it, and if they like it, they watch it, and if they don't like it, they have no reason to comment on it, really, although that won't stop them.
Yeah.
But it's obviously has been a powerful tool in getting you known, though, and getting to this stage.
It is, yeah. So you can't argue that it's the main event of now.
Yeah.
Hot take.
And that's all you should take away from this.
The internet is staying.
She's here.
Okay. So let me ask a couple of emergency questions, just because people get upset if I don't. The one I've been asking everyone is, if you could take one item from an art gallery or museum in the world and take that and own it and take it home, any painting or artifact or anything that's in a public museum or art gallery, what would you like to have?
I would take the donation box at the front.
Okay. There's a lot of foreign currency in there. It's going to be a lot of time to work through.
Yeah.
People getting rid of their pound coins that aren't a legal tender anymore, yeah. Which is what happens in my bucket.
Oh, shit, yeah.
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 So not so good. Rosie, do you have a favourite?
We went to the, I'm going to say it wrong, I always say Munch. Munch.
Munch.
We went to the, we were in Norway doing Mach. Mush.
Mush.
I'd take the Scream.
Scream.
I fucking love that so much. Yeah. We saw it in the old, in the old Munchy Munch room in Norway. And it was fucking brilliant. It was right at the very end of the room. Oh, I loved it. So
would
I'd take
it wouldn't
that.
Be a relaxing paint to have to own, though.
Perfect.
Where would you put it in your
right
house?
Up, right in my eye line when I wake up in the morning.
It's a good choice. And I'll ask you. I don't know. I think one of you may and one of you may not. Have you ever seen a ghost, either of you?
Yes. I have.
Yeah, one
I have.
Has.
I
see them all the time.
I see ghosts all the time. I wake up in the middle of the night. See yeah. one. Right, all the time.
Yeah, it's probably the Munch painting you've got on your wall.
I love ghosts. I think they're around us.
What's the best one you've seen? And isn't it weird how they always come when you've just woken up?
Yeah, maybe. I was in my uni room and I had a double bed. And which broke because everyone jumped on it one night. And it was a big dip. It was one of those shitty metal ones. It was a big dip. And everyone just jumped on it. And so I'd always sleep. I'd start here and just go down there into the gap. And then one time I went down into the gap, woke up really fast. And there was a woman who I can see her face right now. She was wearing a tracksuit. You know, like those tracksuits that you buy from a market.
Did
like
she have a javelin through her?
I can see her face and she looks slightly pigeon faced.
Okay.
a little, maybe in her 50s and her hair was like a bit dirty grey.
Sure it wasn't a pigeon?
I did have a bed full of pigeons because my window was always open. I can see it and her tracksuit was a little bit bobbly and yeah. I just sort of like looked at her. She looked at me and I went back to sleep.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
I'm going to see her in the street one day and be like, that's you.
Well, not if she's a ghost, you won't see her in the street. Unless she was a ghost from the future.
Am I mixing up ghosts with humans?
Yeah. I mean, it could be just someone in your bedroom. That's yeah. possible.
My landlady also does have a pigeon face.
Does she?
So maybe she was sleeping in my bed.
Yeah.
Was she trying to fix my bed? And I accidentally fell asleep while she was trying to fix the bed. I woke up and she was there.
Yeah.
Okay, this is all starting to make sense.
Okay. Always a logical explanation for everything. So you're touring your show.
Yes.
It's called When the Screaming... What's it called?
Before the Screaming Starts.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. The Bross one is After the Screaming Stops. We've gone Before the Screaming Starts.
Oh. Sorry, I dropped your book on the floor, Liam. Good. So you're touring flowandjoan.com?
Flowandjoan.com, yeah. We're going to do half... Before the Screaming Start. We're going to do Before the Screaming Starts and then also old material.
Yeah, like a best of.
We put a bunch of old... We've got an Amazon Prime special, so we put all of our best previous stuff in there. So we'll use that for like the people who've come off that, and then Before the Screaming Starts will be our new stuff.
Is the Amazon Prime thing on Amazon Prime now? And I saw it was coming up. It's on.
She's going. She's hot.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
It's really fun. Yeah. It looks great. The colours are amazing. I love the colours. So good.
Look at that. And are you doing another show in Edinburgh? Have you got a show tonight?
We do, yeah.
We've got two more tonight.
Two more?
Yeah, we thought, why not on the final day of Fringe do our show, give ourselves half an hour, and then just do it again?
Yeah.
That's exactly what we want to do on the last day of the festival.
Yeah.
If you want, you can come back here tomorrow and do one in my time slot here if you want, because I'm not here.
We should just do that.
I'm going to sleep forever. I'm not coming back.
Has it been a good friend? Have you enjoyed it? It's a long old slog. I know you've done it before, but it's...
It's our fourth year. This one was like... ghosts.
I love just that psychic link you've got between each other. You know when to shut up. That's the good thing about that.
I also enjoy that you asked how it went and we both, I think, just had a verbal breakdown. Which
don't ask us on the last day how our friend went. We're only going to be broken.
Are you looking forward to going home? And do you live in the UK again now? Or
Yeah, in London.
Yeah. You're born in Portsmouth.
Portsmouth.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me.
Yeah.
Daddy?
How are you? It could be. Tragedy. Well, no, it probably couldn't be. I don't think I ever ejaculated in Portsmouth.
Wise. No one should.
Don't think I have. But with time travel in the mix, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. Flanders and Swanton go, Rich, come along, we've got this great gangbang organised. But I'm not musical. Oh, it'll just add a bit of jeopardy to
You'll be musical by the end.
Well, it's lovely to see you both. I hope I'll see you again very soon.
We'll go back to Tring. Relive that good gig.
Yeah. I fell off that stage once. It wasn't the year you did it. I walked off stage and I thought there were stairs there and there weren't stairs there. And I fell and my legs were sticking out there. I really badly hurt myself. It was like it's a Ray stage.
That's but not a small edge either.
No,
it's a big one.
I went back, got a good laugh.
Oh, good.
But, if I had died, I would have gone out, with the laughter ringing in my ears.
Did anyone help you up?
No, they just left me to crawl. I was bleeding.
Oh, nice.
Tring.
Yeah, Tring. When I was in Tring as well, I went to put on my play. John can wait. He's got nothing to worry about. He's not got anything to promote. when I did Tring, I went to... they did Punk's Not Dead, one of my plays. An amateur group put it on. It's a very good play, but no one else apart from them realised. And they put me up in a hotel. This is a very long story, and I've realised it's not that good. We just had our child, our first baby, and when we got there, the toilet was blocked with something, and we called up the guy, and... A guy came out and he was annoyed, and we went down to have a drink. And he came down to the bar where we were drinking because we'd had a very fraught journey, holding up a bag with a nappy, and it said, "Don't flush your nappies down the toilet," in front of us in the whole bar. We said, "It wasn't us, we didn't do it." That's my memories of Tring. Well, I was very cross with him. It wasn't us, it was someone else. We weren't stupid. And if we were that stupid, we wouldn't then complain, would we? We'd fish it out. I've had no sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, I thought it was going to be a better story than that, then I remembered it was shit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Flo and Joan. They've never crossed the map again. Thank you so much. Lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming along, people here and people at home. We're normal services resumed as of next Wednesday, I think. We've got like a lot in the can already, even though we're on tour. I think we've got Angela Barnes will be on video and audio from next Wednesday, and then it goes on. And I think we've already got up to December. It's crazy, and we're about to go on tour and record about another 50. And I think that means either these will carry on long after I'm dead, which is good, or I can take next year off. We'll see which way it goes. People here, thanks very much for coming. I hope you ordered a program at the beginning. At the end of the show, I'm making a collection for Scope. If you would like to give some money in return for that program, please don't feel you have to. And many people have made that clear that they don't feel they have to. There should be some people holding buckets. If not, I will be sitting in the foyer selling my Emergency Questions books. There should be a bucket there. So it would be lovely if you give some money to Scope. If you want to buy either the original Emergency Questions book with 500 Emergency Questions or the new Emergency Questions book with 1,001 Emergency Questions, I've only got one pack of those left, so they may sell out. Then please come and see me. And there are also some Rahulastapa stickers you can buy, or you get those free if you buy both books. It's lovely, and I'm very happy to say hello and do selfies and everything. You don't have to buy anything to do that, or you don't even have to give any money to Scope. You can just be a prick. I want everything for free. And thank you very much for buying a ticket to the show. I mean, my landlord is very grateful to for his. I'll let you know what percentage of my money he gets. I think it's more than a third. But that's still quite, that's still quite good for me. So let's crack on. Do give some money after, and I'm gonna. Don't take long talking to me because I want to go away. Only get a selfie if you really want one, because I've got a cab waiting. So my next. I'm taking this last one very seriously. Okay, I'm taking this. Isn't you're not just getting.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My next guest is probably best known for his role as John in Santageddon. That's why we're here. He also has the honour of being the final guest. That is an honour that is bestowed. I bestow that on the act I feel has deserved it the most from their run at the Edinburgh Fringe. Will you please welcome the incredible John Cairns, ladies and gentlemen? An honour. Hello, John. You can choose to sit either close to me or far away.
I'll sit close.
Sit close. That, I mean, that is nicer to sit close rather than...
Yeah, it'd be odd if I sat there.
It would be. Maybe then if you turned the chair around, but still, we still had a conversation.
For the podcast listeners, there's two chairs.
There's two chairs.
Yeah. They, well, there's three chairs.
I reckon they can... Well, three chairs if you include mine. I reckon they can work that out because my podcast listeners are clever and they will realise there were two guests just now. Although they share a bed, so who knows? Could have had the little one sat on the other one's knee. Well, little ventriloquist. That was it. It's like having... There used to be ventriloquists on the radio, didn't it? It would be amazing if that was just a ventriloquist actor and I hadn't... There was Educating Archie used to be it. I turned to the and white-haired gentleman there to get... There was a show called Educating Archie, which was about... a ventriloquist dummy who was being educated, I guess. I don't remember to... You don't...
It was about
before
the
your time as well, wasn't it? Yeah. That's how old it is.
It was about the dummy.
It was about the dummy who was being educated, I guess, but they did ventriloquism on the radio. But it would be good if I'd done a podcast and not reference the fact that that was all... that was all Rosie operating Nicola, which I think would be... That would be the way around, right? If they were going to be ventriloquist
acts. If I think about it, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Good. What do you think about the whole time travelling Flanders and Swan bit? Do you think that's one of Steve Bentley? Were you listening backstage?
No.
No, okay.
I was getting nervous.
Oh, yeah, it is nerve-wracking coming on. Sorry to be blathering like a man who has not had enough sleep.
Well, no, I finished, like you said, I finished my run.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing there, to be honest, but I... I like the podcast. Your show is the first show I ever saw in Edinburgh.
Right. Which one was it?
Yes. 19.
Really stuck in your mind.
No, I remember it very well. Okay. It was 2008.
Okay.
Headmaster's
son?
Cock.
Son. Headmaster's cock.
Fuck me, yeah, sorry.
That is next year's show. It's going to be a very dark story. And the headmaster's my dad, so it's a very, very dark story.
Well, maybe it wasn't you I saw. Okay. Fuck me, sorry, man. What I said, headmaster's son.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, man. But you you did... I remember you did a joke about your small... Hands,
yeah, small hands, yeah.
Poking through the curtain,
yeah,
and trying to catch paedophiles.
Yeah. And
I've got quite. My friends say, yeah. I've got quite porcelain small hands.
Yeah, they're bigger than mine. Those are Lunkin look, put it about the point. Oh, no, they're not about the same. They look big from a distance, but they're about the same.
So, I could go into business together.
Well,
the
I've got quite dainty feet.
Yeah.
So you could stick your hands out. I could stick my feet out.
Yeah. There's a reasonable idea, I think. I thought that my tiny hands were a disadvantage. When I was 16, I thought I'd never have sex because of my tiny hands. I mean, what woman would want those touching her? It'd be creepy. Right? Look at them. I'm not far away, mate. That's my actual hand.
They get bigger if you get closer.
They do a little bit bigger. But, I could lure Peter Vars into a room, wank them off by a curtain, going, yes, sir, hello, yes, thanks. Sorry, I have to hide.
Why would you just not grab it?
Yeah.
And then go, right, what, gotcha. Why would you whack them off? And then when they're all sleeping, you go, right, I'm going to take you to the police
because
station.
Because once they're wanked off, then they can't fiddle with any kids for a bit. And once they're satisfied,
right,
as long as you keep wanking them off, that's the problem over. And it was a public service I was prepared to do. I don't even like wanking off paedophiles. I was doing that out of the goodness of my own heart. And people looked at me like, people got upset about that whole idea.
Not all heroes wear capes.
But apart from that, it was quite, my agent did advise me to take that routine out of the otherwise charming show. But I refused.
The best thing I ever, the first thing I ever saw in Edinburgh, I couldn't believe it. So if I if I kill myself now, my Edinburgh's gone full circle.
But it's good you're doing the podcast now because it's very important to get your publicity for 2020 in as early as you can.
My agent said.
This is the first interview.
No, I thought. Do you know what I thought? I generally thought because it's the last one.
Yeah.
Because you're updating it every day.
Yeah.
There's nothing. The next one ain't coming out for what? A few weeks?
No, about 4 days.
Why?
Because it's coming out on Wednesday. I'm just back to normal.
No, this one's coming out on Wednesday.
This one's coming out now. Today.
Live.
The people at home, it is for them. They're going, wow, how did he know?
Oh, well, there's another one on Wednesday.
No, well, I'm good. We're putting out one I've done already on Wednesday, yes.
Oh, fuck.
You're not even there for it. You're going to be top of the tree for shorter than usual. Because this will go up Sunday or probably Monday. James Hingley's going to be drunk tonight, isn't he? He's going to be out drunk, getting drunk, not caring about normalising the sound. Don't to worry about that. He's going to be out. Might get home. He might put it up on Tuesday and then bang Wednesday.
Who's on Wednesday?
Angela Barnes. Yeah. Been a total waste of your time coming on this, mate. Whose time can I wait? You don't get paid. If you've done the regular one, you get paid.
You get paid in London.
In fact, the fee is doubling for the next one I do, not in Edinburgh, double the usual fee.
400?
500. It's 250.
500 usually. Quid?
500 quid. Everyone who does it, 500 quid.
Fuck me.
But this one, you're just you're just doing this to publicise your show. that's what you're doing. That's your payment.
Have a day off. I booked my day off as today.
Yeah, that was good thinking.
Yes, I could do this.
If you told me, I'd have put you on like Friday or something.
No, I thought it'd be funny. Okay, I thought it'd be funny.
So, John, what was John in Santageddon? Was that a good role?
Yeah, it was about a zombie Father Christmas.
Okay.
Did you ever go down to the grotto? I think you did, actually, in Bank, in central London. Bob Slayer.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, that huge kind of... It was basically like a three-story underground... used to be a restaurant, and it was just completely abandoned.
Yeah.
And he took it over for two Christmases in a row.
Right.
Because he knew a guy who insured it. And, filmed... There was a film made about her.
Okay.
Gemma Whelan was in it. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Gemma Whelan.
I know Gemma Whelan.
Yeah. Game of Thrones is Gemma Whelan.
She's on Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Someone from Game of Thrones saw my show. Someone from Game of Thrones saw my show two weeks ago.
Oh, really? Okay. Who was that? Was it Gemma
Emilia Clarke.
Wow. Oh, she did. I saw her. I saw her.
She Instagrammed about it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And she... I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I didn't know she was in.
Right.
And she Instagrammed about my show, and she said that she loved it.
Yeah.
And she has 24 million Instagram followers.
Yeah.
some dreadful shows after that. Her fans and my fans. That is not a Venn diagram. No, that is.
Did you consider putting some dragons in?
Honestly, like, yeah. The day after, front row, there was like 4 16-year-old girls.
Right.
And I immediately knew, I just knew.
Yeah.
One of them, straight away, yeah, I'm not making it up, faces the wall. Just faces the wall. And I just thought, right, I'm going to just have to blank them out of my head. Somebody, a friend was watching my show that day and said that there were other girls across the stage.
Yeah.
And they were doing hand signals to each other about how long was left. Oh, yeah. She put 20 quid in the bucket.
Oh, that's nice.
It's great.
Yeah. Do you think Emilia Clarke did that on purpose to try and mesh up? Because, spoiler alert, her character turns out to be a bit of a dick in the end. Everyone
really?
Liked her, and then
really?
Yeah, and then she turned out quite well. I mean, worse, I'd say, than sending the wrong people to a gig. What she does in Game of Thrones. I mean, comparable, but worse.
Have you seen the trailer for our new film?
No.
I think you'll like it.
Okay.
I don't think I'm ruining it. I think there's someone in the trailer's a ghost.
Okay.
And it's set to George Michael music. Emma Thompson wrote it with...
Oh, yeah, with Bryony Kimmings.
Bryony Kimmings, yeah.
She was talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she didn't... Emilia Clarke didn't go to Bryony Kimmings' show, or at least didn't tweet about it or Instagram about it. She went to see you instead. I think that's rude.
I don't know why the fuck she came to
Maybe see. She thought you were Bryony Kimmings and thought, this is an odd show about almost losing a child. What was your show about this year? I never saw it. What was it about?
Did you see any? What have you seen this year?
I've not seen it. I've got two fucking kids that get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've seen some dirty assholes. I've seen some shit going right up the back of a tiny child. Seen some kids jumping on a fucking trampoline. I've seen a lot of kids shows. Don't mess with the dummies is my tip of the best show at the Edinburgh Fringe. I saw Bryony Kimmings, unlike Emilia Clarke. That's it, I've seen that. I saw Jane Addams.
Yeah.
She was there. So I did see a couple of adult shows, but yeah, I thought, when I did this, John, I thought, what's going to be great about this year? I'm not doing a stand-up show. The night before each guest on, I'll go and see their show, and then I'll really have something to talk about. No, couldn't fucking do that, could I? I was asleep at 8 o'clock. Had two kids to look after. So tell me about your show. Then I don't. Could you just do a bit while we all look kind of blankly at you? Can you do it?
Like, on my day off, I end up doing my show in front of an audience.
We've got 15. Half of that. Can you do like the best 15 minutes of it? Do you need the props and stuff, or can you do it without the? Can you do it without?
Well,
the
wig? I wear. Obviously, most people probably don't know, but I wear like a monk's wig and fake teeth usually on stage.
Yeah. Can you do it without the? If you had to do it without those things,
I've last year or a couple of years ago, I thought I'm just going to do. Well, I did a Christmas show, and I forgot. I just forgot it all. I'd left it at home. And I tried to fashion some teeth, God almighty, out of like a plastic pint glass.
Right.
And I went on stage. And they, I mean, my gums were bleeding. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So I spat them out. And I went, right, just, you know, I just have to do it as me. And it was interesting how much they... Well, I've learned... They give a cadence. They give a...
Yeah.
I've learned how to use them. So it was... The biggest thing was I feel funny wearing it.
Yeah.
And therefore, I feel like I enjoy being on stage a lot more. I think when I've done it as myself... I wonder what the point of it all is. Whereas it's like a uniform. It's like, oh, I'm going to work now.
Yeah.
I'll put
it
on.
It does
this,
make point. And when you've got a monk's wig and false teeth, it's suddenly it makes sense, doesn't
I
it?
I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, weirdly, it does make sense.
Yeah, it does.
Make I don't know sense. Why. Yeah. It's got me.
Because I feel like that about comedy. I just, by the end of the Fringe, just look at all the stupid posters and the faces of the comedians. Think, what? Why are any of us doing this? What is wrong with us, and what's wrong with people for encouraging us by coming?
But
to
do you
see
think
it?
There's? Any, I don't think there's like. Do you think there's anything? Do you think there's anything wrong with you? Because I don't really think there's anything deep down wrong with me.
I don't. I mean, I don't think.
I've just gone too far.
My audience would disagree, but I don't think there is anything wrong with me. I think I'm a pretty well balanced, normal man who collects. Picks up stones from the field, puts them on the edge, and plays snooker against himself. But those are things I would do, not for entertainment. I would do those anyway. But I haven't had a big trap. My dad was my headmaster, and when you'll find out in the headmaster's cock how much influence that had in my later career. But
had seen the headmaster's cock. I mean, yeah. You do see your dad's cock.
I have seen it.
So I've seen my dad's cock, yeah.
We've all seen that. But I think I had a very happy childhood. I didn't lose a parent. I didn't. I wasn't adopted. I didn't have a breakdown, as far as I know. I did comedy because I really liked comedy. I liked people who made me laugh when I was a kid, and I wanted to make people laugh.
I remember Stephen Merchant in an interview saying, I remember reading it when I was like 16, 17. I remember these key bits of, because I was just obsessed with comedy, and you'd skim through the newspapers and read the interviews with people. And there's two things I really remember. I remember Bill Bailey, somebody asked him what the best bit of advice he was ever given. And he said it was, keep saying funny things. And I remember as a kid going, yeah. That's all it is, man. Like when you're writing, honestly, I remember it because, you know, I'm writing. Yeah. And if I'm like, oh, where's this going? I just remember that. And I'm like, well, what's the stupid? What's the funny thing to say?
Yeah.
And then I just remember Stephen Merchant in an interview, he said he never thought he wouldn't do comedy. Because he just remembered as a kid watching it, going, well, there'll always be people that need to do that.
Yeah.
So I'll just be one of them people.
Yeah.
And I didn't think like that.
Right.
But when you read someone say that, you know, it helps. And like, I grew up in Streatham.
Yeah.
So Jack D lived two doors down from my nan.
Right.
Paul Merton lived in Streatham. You lived in Balham.
Well, I live in Balham. I thought, were you born in Tooting, or is it Tooting? Because Stuart lived in Tooting.
I grew
when you
up
were
in
about 6 years old, I lived there for a bit, and I said my.
Well, you would have seen me walking around.
Yeah, we would have. There would have been a point where we'd passed.
Your hand
nodded each other. I saw a little six-year-old kid and went, "Yeah." One day. I lived with Stuart for a bit because I think I'd fallen victim of a rogue landlord who wasn't really chipped out of money, and I had to stay on people's sofas for a bit. And I said I would pay for their TV licenses as my payment, but then I didn't, and then they got done for no TV licenses. To be fair, they came within about 2 days of me arriving in the house. I was just about on the way out to do it.
John Sullivan lived in Balham.
John Sullivan did, yeah.
And that was like, you know, growing up in South London and all that.
Yeah.
Rodney would kind of reference Caesars on Streatham High Road as a nightclub and all that.
Yeah.
And it felt like it sounds so silly, but, you know, not like, I remember my nan would say, oh, a comedian lives two doors down there, it's Jack D, or John Sullivan lived just near Balham Jute.
Yeah.
And it was the idea that they wrote and they performed comedy and could buy a house.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can't buy a house, but it made it tangible. And it also, I guess, maybe made it tangible to my, you know, my family, my parents, because, you know, my dad's in was insurance, and my mum works in a bank. And there's no press. I can never say that word. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it made it real.
Prestidigitator, that's what you're going to say. Prestidigitator. There's no prestidigitators in your family. Is that what you're going to say?
No? Okay. Was that? I don't know.
That means like magicians, but I think I still said it wrong.
No, no magicians.
No one got. No, I thought I'd been very witty, but, you know, it's the end of the fridge. It's really near. I've got 9 minutes left. I'm done. Just wait a sec.
When do you go home?
I'm going. When am I going home?
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna get a cab with my any books I haven't sold. Get back to the house, yeah. And then hopefully my wife's packed up the last of the stuff, and then I'm driving to T-Bay services. Yeah, I'm driving to T-Bay services, staying there, and then I'm driving home probably at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day. So hopefully I'll be home by midday tomorrow. I'm not anxious.
Why don't you love this place?
Hold on. God, it was really at the beginning of 14. 8 minutes to go. So there we go. It's up. I do love it. I do love it. And I loved it. I've really had a fantastic time doing the show, and I still am having a fantastic time doing this show. Part of the point of this show, like, it's difficult because people came and reviewed it like as if it was a stand-up show, like, well, there's not very much stand-up in it. And it's just some people messing around on stage talking about, that's the fucking show, and it lets you research what the show is. But part of what I love about this show is I've got to be a little bit half-arsed. I've got to appear half-arsed, but I tell you, John, I'm not half-arsed. I'm putting my heart and soul into this. Look at the notes I made about you.
You haven't asked me anything yet. I'd love to see what's on that list.
Yeah, these notes.
Fuck me. You literally were counting down the clock. What have you wrote? I've achieved a lot, you know, fuck me. What have you, give me that, what the fuck have you written on that thing?
Oh no, there's loads
that
on here.
That grubby little notebook.
My daughter's been using it as a writing pictures on it. You were a guide at the Houses of Parliament, John.
Yeah,
what was the most interesting thing in the House of Parliament that you had to look at and say, that? Look at that thing? Look at that. Look at the announcement. Did you go, here's the mace. That's where Michael Heseltine picked that up and waved it above his head. Then we called him Tarzan. Now on to the Black Rod. Here's the Black Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where Spencer Percival, the only English UK Prime Minister to be assassinated thus far, hopefully that will change, was killed in the lobby of the House of Commons in 1822. I could have done your job.
He was.
Is it still available, that job? Shall I just talk about what I would do if I was the guy?
Like,
I don't want to know
what
you
two,
do.
One of the two fat ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sex by the speaker's chair. There we go.
Did she?
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah.
With who?
An MP, but she said she can't remember who it was. Okay. She was. Do you remember the two fat ladies?
Yeah.
So not the one with glasses.
Right. She had sex with an MP in the House
behind the speaker's chair.
Wow.
Yeah.
While it was in session.
You know, there was a toilet in the speaker's chair.
Is there?
There was.
Okay.
Because there was only one speaker.
Yeah.
So the speaker couldn't get up and go leave debates. So there was a toilet in the chair, and he lifted it up, and there was a curtain that used to go around the speaker's chair. And all the MPs would
slap. His hand did come out.
Would
I know there wouldn't be any paedophiles in the House of Commons, though, would there? So that's he'd be wasting his time.
Imagine being that desperate, you know, doing a debate, and then you're like, ooh. And then all the MPs would slap their seats.
As he did,
so you couldn't hear what was going on.
Wow. When did that stop?
When they got multiple
speakers.
Speakers, yeah.
And just some regular toilets. There's just a toilet back there, mate. I want to piss in my chair!
I can't hear what's
going on!
Pissing
in my chair behind
the curtain. Leaves the door open. What the fuck are they saying?
Orgia. You should have used that.
It's good.
That's another name for poo.
But... Yeah, I did that for 4 years. Yeah.
Did you for 4 years? It was quite a few of kind of guide, tour guide style people who went on to be stand-ups. I think Sarah Pascoe did...
She did the...
The buses?
Buses, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It was a full-time job. I worked with like the education department as well and all that.
Yeah.
And then I did stand-up in the evenings.
Okay.
And then I managed to quit my job after winning.
Yeah. Well, you won the best. You won the best newcomer, and then the next year you won the best oldcomer.
Yeah.
The best not newcomer. You won the whole awards. That wasn't the only person to have done that consecutively or at all. Has anyone won both awards before? Or since?
I'm the only person.
Yeah, you're the only person to do that. So that's pretty. And did you when you started doing stand up? Were you the character with the hair and the teeth?
No, I started at uni, and I did it for like. I did it for like 5-6 years, and I did some showcases up here. First time I was in 2008, I was doing a free fringe show at the Standing Order,
right?
The Wetherspoons,
right?
It was the only year they did stand up in there. No, I got bored of it. I did the Pleasance Reserves, which again is like a showcase where you do 15 minutes, and I was working at Parliament, and I was taking all my summer holidays to come up here, and it was getting to a point where I was like, well, I don't know. I wasn't getting paid to do stand-up, and it was like, I'm not entirely sure what the gear change has to be here. So I, when I came up in 2013, it was just little things. I did a benefit that was based on Robin Williams' films, and I had to do a Mrs. Doubtfire spoof. Nice. And I put these fake teeth in to be Mrs. Doubtfire. And it just clicked something. I just was having fun on stage. And I hadn't had fun for ages, and you know, neither had my audiences. I think. I was doing stuff like, you know, I was doing stuff like pretending I'd been on the Titanic, and I was filling out a crossword, and then on the toilet, and then someone knocks on the door and says they're sinking, and I did the whole 15-minute bit is about a bloke being pissed off because he couldn't finish his crossword puzzle, isn't it? And then I remember on the first day, someone came up to me and was like. You know, the crossword was invented like 10 years after the Titanic. Well, that's gone. So I just kind of went hell for leather in 2013.
Yeah.
And I remember I was stood in the Pleasance Courtyard, and all my posters hadn't turned up. And I got a call from my boss. I had to take a day early leave. I just had to leave work, just not turn up. And I told her I was going to do it. She was like, "I'm going to have to call you." For the records.
Yeah.
So I'm stood at the Pleasance Courtyard and she calls me going, "Why aren't you at work?" I was like, "Well, you know, I'm at the Edinburgh Fringe." She's like, "Okay, well, we're going to have to deal with this when you get back." So in my head, I'm going, right, well, when I get back, I think I might be sacked. Anyway, I turned up and then I handed in my notice because I won the newcomer award.
Yeah.
Although she still made me have the HR meeting.
Right.
I remember the woman from HR was sat there, and I went, "Well, I have handed in my notice." And she looked at me like, "What the fuck are we here?"
And when you do the character, I wish I hadn't wasted that minute. Because I'm nearly out of time now. I just did that, just looking at my watch to see if, and then to have the audacity to discuss that as well, knowing I'm running out of time, but to waste another 20 seconds just discussing the fact that I wasted the time. When I've got a very important question to ask you, and you're going to have... I mean, it's actually... You've got no time. It is now 2:30. Just on the time I watch it turn to 2:30, we are actually out of here now. When you do... I don't care, it's the last day. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Not pay me the money? Oh, shit, they won't pay me the money.
Do you get fined if you go over? Yeah. How much?
Oh, God knows.
In Summerhall, it's 50 quid a minute.
Is it? I don't think it's too bad, because I think it's just... it was the woman from Molly and Mac after me the other day, and you won't even know what that is. When you do... not time to really go into this.
No. Invite me on London.
Would you like
quid.
To come back another time and have some money?
Is that like a Johnny Carson?
I tell you what, John... because I feel bad, you can have these. Those cost £5, those stickers. You can have those. Have those for free.
Oh, great. I love these. Yeah. Oh, I love the that Dennis the Menace kind of thing.
Yeah, you can have that.
Oh, can I? Generally? Yeah, look. Because I had... Did you have one? I had one.
I didn't have one, yeah. This is if you become a member, you get this Cool Cat Kid membership badge. I've never given to these... One, someone who hasn't become a member, John. There you go. You can have that.
I generally would love. Thank you.
That's probably worth £500.
It's like I'm a fan. It's what a. No show to plug. Just you know, meeting the hero.
Liam, thanks for coming to 20 shows.
Thank you.
I once sold one of my question books for £1,500. The most recent one went for I think about £300. That was signed by all the guests, and I haven't got anyone to sign this one. But that's my question. There you go. Oh, good one. That's my question. But that's the Liam. Thank you very much. Yeah, do come back. Come back on again. Do you live in London, don't you?
Yeah, I do live in London.
Because I'm doing loads around the country.
They've cancelled all the trains.
I know.
It's insane.
That's why I've got a car.
You don't live in London as well.
No, I'm not giving you a lift. Fucking hell, mate. Trying to come with me and my family, stay in T-Bay services with us. It's really packed in the car. I've got a lot of programmes to take home with me.
I met your wife when I was at uni.
Yeah, no, she was saying
she came up to do our gig.
She told me this morning,
and she was like the professional comedian.
Yeah,
and we were so excited.
She said you were all in awe of her.
Couldn't believe it. Like somebody had come up from London to Norwich, where I was at university doing our gig. And she was great, yeah.
She went to the same university. There isn't time to talk about it, John. Ladies and gentlemen.
There was time. There was fucking time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's John Kern. You've been lovely. If you want to see this more with touring, go to richherring.com/gigs and you can find out all about that. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. And thank you to everyone in the stand and at the Newtown Theatre for having me. You know, I may see you again at some point. You never know. I'll just be out the back. All right, see ya. Bye. You have been listening to Rahulastapa at the Edinburgh Fringe with me, Richard Herring. Thank you to Pest for providing the music. Thank you to everyone at the Newtown Theatre and the stand. And everyone at gofasterstrike.com. The producer is James Hingley. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production. Go to rahulastapa.co.uk to find out more. richardherring.com/gigs to find out who my guests are for the rest of the run.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.